In Spain, bullfighters wave red flags to get the bulls to charge. Thus, we say we're seeing red when really angry. And nothing gets us madder than being offended by another person. When someone does us wrong, we can lose our focus on everything except the rage we feel within. Today, more lessons on the roots of rage and how to handle it. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on When You've Been Wronged. Listen now as we hear more of a message on the blinding power of an offense and just how blinded we can become.
Well, what I'd like to do now is to give you some characteristics of the person who has an offense and who will not give it up for love nor money. He will not lay it down. What are some of those characteristics? First of all, we become blind to our own faults. I titled this message, The Blinding Power of an Offense. It blinds us to our own faults. You see, in the walls of this castle that I've spoken about, since you control who comes and goes, an offended person will make sure that the only information and the only people that are allowed through the gate is someone who agrees with him and someone who takes his side, and all other information is filtered out, and there's no possible way that anyone else can touch him. Because the walls are so high and the gates are so thick. And so he can't see his own faults. When we have an offense, we are blinded to our own faults. I think this is what Jesus meant when in Matthew chapter 7, you remember, you think that there's a speck of sawdust in your eye and you don't realize that there's a beam in it. And so you have this guy and he has the beam. He's the person, you see, who's agenda-driven. He's got this beam, this 2x4 in his eye. He thinks it's a piece of sawdust, but it's actually a 2x4. And as he looks at others, he is absolutely confident that they all have 2x4s. He thinks he has only a piece of sawdust, and they are the ones with the 2x4s. What he does not understand is that as he looks at them, what he sees in their eye is a reflection of what is in his own eye. But he can't see that. He's blinded by it. He's blinded by Satan. And so, his hurt runs so deep that he says to himself, no matter what I do to other people, it can't possibly be as great as the harm that has been done to me, and therefore I have a right to hurt other people because, after all, I have been hurt. And he justifies it, and he's blind to what it is that he is doing. Secondly, he's blinded by the desire for vengeance. Take your Bibles here and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This is a marvelous passage of Scripture. If you ever say to yourself, I don't know how to pray for Moody Church, rather than just repeating the same old prayers, take Romans chapter 12 and begin at verse 9 and pray this prayer every day for a week for Moody Church. That's praying biblically. Paul says in verse 9, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to the good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I'm picking it up now at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. That in itself is a whole message. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not become haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Why is he saying that? It's because offended people are often very conceited. Their pride gets in the way, you know. And they become blind to it. And then it says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. And then he quotes the scripture. You see, the person who holds an offense that sticks like Velcro to his soul will always seek justice, yes, but vengeance, actually. Vengeance may be identified with justice, but normally when we talk about vengeance, it is that which is overdone, that which is an overreaction, the desire to see someone destroyed, the desire to absolutely do all that you possibly can to make people pay the utmost farthing. A person like this believes that if he were to forgive, he would trivialize the offense. So there's no way that he's going to lay down his bitterness. That would mean it's small in his eyes, and therefore he hangs onto it, and then he spends a lot of time convincing God to hate the same people whom he hates. And so he gives all these reasons to God as to why God should be as angry at them as he is. Like the sons of thunder in the days of the New Testament, the people of Samaria. God, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and consume them? And Jesus said, you don't understand what spirit you are of. I love to tell the story of a man who I think is a friend of mine, though we live distantly from one another. And he said that he left this Christian organization that he felt had wronged him. You know, they had promised him a certain number of things, and they didn't come through with the promise, and he had some personality conflicts, but he thought that he was right and they were wrong. And so when he was released, he was so angry, he stomped the dust from his feet and prayed that God would curse the place and shut it down. Well, years later, he had to confess that all that God did since he left is to bless the place. It grew. The ministry was used mightily of God and still is used by God today. Something like Balaam, you remember, he tried to curse Israel and all that would come out is blessing. Have you ever noticed that God sometimes blesses people that you and I think he shouldn't? Has that ever crossed your mind? It certainly crossed mine. I know a lot of people that I wouldn't bless if I were God. And so what happens is now, this person, in his vengeance, he'll believe only that which is evil about a person. All good information is filtered out because he's standing there, you see, at the door of his castle, making sure that the only information that is fed into him confirms his own feelings. Everything else is censored, and it's not allowed to apply. And so what happens is he accepts only that which confirms his predisposition. Hate is a terrible thing. When my wife and I were at Ground Zero, there was a woman who was walking back and forth, I guess all afternoon. She was doing this for the half hour that we were there. She kept walking along the sidewalk as hundreds of people were looking at Ground Zero, and she kept shouting, Bush and the CIA did what you see here. Bush and the CIA did what you see here. I had two thoughts. The first one was, isn't this wonderful that in America even marginal people can give their viewpoint? And then I thought something else. The power of hatred. If you hate the president, no matter who he is, you'll connect dots, you'll make accusations, whether you have evidence or not, because all that matters is that you latch onto something that confirms your hatred. The power of hate. Hate filters out the good and embellishes the bad, regardless of what we hear about those whom we hate. Here's a third characteristic, and that is you can become a destroyer. You can become a destroyer. John 10:10 says this of the enemy, Satan. Because remember, if you hold on to an offense, you're in league with the devil. We'll see that in future messages. But you can become a destroyer. John 10:10, the thief comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief destroys. Are you aware of the fact that there are some people who get their sense of significance from destroying others? There really are. I could tell you lots of stories about that. People whose whole sense of value and self-worth and power is tied up in the ability and the desire to destroy people, whether those people are an enemy or not. Later in this series, I'm going to read a letter that I received from someone about a mother-in-law who tried to separate and tried to destroy the good marriage of her son and daughter. You'd think that most mother-in-laws, and I'm sure most do, would delight in the fact that the son and daughter had such a wonderful relationship. But this mother-in-law is trying to drive a wedge between them. She couldn't stand the fact that they had a good relationship. She becomes a destroyer. Destroyers are very, very interesting people, oftentimes filled with paranoia, as we shall see. Everybody's against me. This is Pastor Lutzer. One of the things that I've tried to do throughout the years is to study the human heart. Because the Bible says that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Did you know that in Jeremiah, the very next verse says, I, the Lord, try the heart. God sees us. But when we think of all the devious ways that we have within ourselves, it is that kind of a heart that we must bring into the presence of God. May well be that today I am talking to a destroyer. I'm talking to somebody who wants to ruin a marriage or get back at someone else with deep and lasting vengeance. And what you want to do is to make sure that nothing is left in your wake. A couple of weeks ago, I was being taken to the airport by a man and his wife, and they were telling me about their daughter-in-law who was divorcing their son. And when they gave me little bits of information, I put the pieces together and I explained to them what was going on in this woman's heart. And they were quite surprised that there is such a thing as patterns of behavior, you know. When you see a little piece of behavior, you can sometimes put the rest together. But today what I'd like to encourage you to do, my friend, is to bring your heart as it is into the presence of God. No matter what characteristics are in it, open your life to the one who can change you.
Erwin Lutzer has brought us part two of The Blinding Power of an Offense, the first of eight messages on When You've Been Wronged. Tomorrow, we'll look at more of the collateral damage caused by how we react to an offense. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. When You've Been Wronged is also a book by Pastor Lutzer, and this book will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When You've Been Wronged. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to us at Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Learn more about how to handle your offenses. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.